morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from a breezy downtown Milwaukee. You can see Pfizer Forum behind us. Calvin is back at the studio in Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder as well, Civic Media's news director Terry Bell is live on location throughout the entire week here at the RNC with news updates and coverage. You can follow all of our coverage online. Just go to civicmedia.us/RNC. Todd Alba Show broadcasting live from the convention from noon until 2 p.m. Maggie Dawn will be down here a little bit later on as well. So everything you would like to follow about the RNC, go to civicmedia.us/RNC, and that will keep you up to date. Coming up at 11:30, Greg Treverton is with National Security Leaders for America. He has a pretty impressive resume.
They usually do.
Served in national security positions four times over his career, both as a Senate and NSC staffer. Also served as vice chair and most recently chair of the National Intelligence Council. Greg Treverton, widely writing on strategy, deterrence, alliance relationships, and intelligence. And so we're going to talk to Greg Treverton at 11:30 about NATO and what it is that NATO does. Yep. And why NATO is important, and actually why NATO is probably more important than ever before with the current state of the world. And I think people will appreciate the economic ramifications if we pull out of NATO. That is going to affect us every day when we're sitting at our kitchen tables.
Absolutely.
As far as the global economy is concerned.
Absolutely.
So when the world is not stable, that affects the global economy, and that affects all of us.
Yeah.
So.
And I was going to say, you know, and we talked before about discussing Project 2025 a lot. We are going to be talking about this a lot, too. So if you say, you guys talk about NATO a lot, yes, we do, because it is that important, and it is that important for you to hear about it and to understand it's not just about war. It's not about peace. It's not about military. It's about everything that affects this country and, guess what, you. Once again, no matter who you voted for.
Yeah, absolutely. It affects all of us, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever. So Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America will be joining us at 11:33. Stick around for that. At 11:20, we're going to do a little update about the Waukesha Farmers Market.
Oh, boy.
I was at the Waukesha Farmers Market on Saturday and had a lovely time, talked to a number of listeners that I want to give shout-outs to. And then I also am going to ask you, if you're listening and you're in the Waukesha area, if we can't help out a woman who stopped by the tent,
yes,
who's looking for a home for a pet, I will have all the details about that coming up at 11:20, so please stay tuned for that. Going to start off, though, with something that we've been meaning to talk about for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And again, news happens with such rapidity now that things supersede it and bump it off the top of the list. But I do think it's important that people keep this in mind. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Election observers showed up at several polling spots in the Milwaukee area when there were primaries about a week and a half ago, right? Mm-hmm. It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Two of them were removed by police in Glendale for being disruptive while objecting to absentee ballots. The mayor of Glendale, Brian Kennedy, says they had to remove two observers at separate city polling sites for getting confrontational with poll workers. The observers declined to be interviewed by the Journal Sentinel. The mayor said they challenged absentee ballots in the city for a number of reasons, including noticing a scratch on the ballot.
Well, whenever I look at a ballot, Jane, and I see a scratch, I automatically think fraud. In fact, I care so deeply about that I have to bother someone about it. I mean, they're going after every vote. I mean, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. The GOP said they want to get, I don't even know how many people they said they want to recruit to be poll watchers. And they're not there to
smooth the process.
Exactly. They're not there about election integrity. They are there to disrupt as much as they possibly can and make this as difficult as possible to intimidate people from even voting in the first place, let alone standing in line to register.
Slow down the process.
Yep.
Make people feel like this is pointless.
Yep.
I'm just not even going to bother.
I don't want to get bothered. I don't get harassed by some guy.
Right. It's such a pain in the neck. Why would I be even bother anymore? This is why it's more important than ever that people make a plan to vote.
Exactly.
Because, as you said, Greg, this isn't going to stop. This kind of behavior, I think, is only going to increase. And it is being encouraged by some.
Oh, yes. Yes. And we will be having, I believe, Law Forward on to talk about the importance of voters' rights, voter protection. Voter protection is something very important during the GOTV, get out the vote operations during election times, where lawyers are on call for basically for 24 straight hours to make sure that, there is no shenanigans happening. If years ago, Racine ran out of ballots, they got to make sure they got the ballots. Voter protection's there to help put the process in order. They are making sure that your right is always upheld to make sure you can cast that ballot once again for whomever you want.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
This is not a right or a left thing. And I will say there is something that, you know, I don't like seeing harassment at the polling ever. And we talked about this a while ago about the idea of someone basically looking over your shoulder watching you vote. I'm like, I will go to jail if that happens, because I will not have someone in my voting area trying to get up in my grill about it. But
well, that's why we're going to have Law Forward
exactly.
here, because people need to know what your rights are as a voter.
Exactly.
How close can these election observers get to you? Do they get to breathe on you? Do they get to peer over your shoulder as you're filling out your ballot?
Yeah.
So we'll get some clarification about that from Law Forward. That's going to be tomorrow, I believe.
I believe tomorrow, if not Thursday, but most likely tomorrow.
Sometime this week we will be talking to Law Forward. I guess what concerns me about this situation in Glendale is that most of the observers challenging the ballots were from outside of Milwaukee County.
Also not
they were
surprising at all.
Registered as either concerned citizens with the Republican Party or an associated group. The observers' efforts, part of a national strategy amongst Republicans to deploy volunteers to monitor and challenge ballots in battleground states, including here in Wisconsin. And again, if you look at what happened in Glendale a couple of weeks ago during the primary, they were arguing over this ballot has a scratch on it and therefore it should be tossed. I don't think that that's a legitimate reason to toss a ballot.
I would say a ballot should be questioned when you feed it into the machine and says cannot take that. As far as I know, a scratch will not hinder the voting process. And I don't like even the shenanigans. Sounds like a funny word to say. This.
I agree with you. I think shenanigans does not carry the gravity.
Yeah.
That this deserves.
Yeah. This is voter intimidation.
Yes, it is.
This is un-American. It's to try to get in someone's way of voting, which is their right as a citizen, is un-American, unpatriotic. And we need to, and something needs to be done about this. And that's why we want to make sure people know their rights at the poll. That's very, very important to know what you should expect to see when you walk through the doors of your polling place come this next month.
In August 13th.
For the primary or for November. And, you know, as Jane said, start thinking now about making a plan. Are you going to vote early? Are you going to vote in-person absentee? Are you going to get a ballot in the mail? Do you like day of voting? Just make sure you know what's going on.
Well, and going back to the August 13th primary, this is a typically low turnout election.
Absolutely.
And wouldn't you know, coincidence of coincidences, that on this typically low turnout election, there are two very, very important statewide constitutional amendments.
Yes. Yep.
That are on the ballot. That would essentially, yet again, take more power away from the governor's office and give it to the Republican-led legislature, especially when it comes to spending federal monies in periods of emergency. So if you look back to the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, Governor Evers was given a certain amount of federal monies. Mm-hmm. It was his discretion to direct where those monies went. And if I remember correctly, a lot of the money went to investing on small Main Street businesses. It also went to helping communities get vaccine testing and protective equipment and things like that. Governor Evers acted quickly to get those dollars working immediately. We can continue to have that, or we can give those powers to Wisconsin legislature, because we all know how zippy they are when it comes to spending money outside of giving it to wealthy donors.
I just like the term zippy.
Zippy?
And folks, this isn't just like the legislature on the whole. This is giving the power to the Joint Finance Committee, a smaller group of people. And I just want to say this right now, and I think I told you this, Jane. Last week I saw a tweet from the Wisconsin GOP, and to push people in the way of voting yes, which we do not think is the right thing to do, we think voting no on the two ballot amendments are the way to go, to keep the money flowing to the governor to give it out to what to whom it needs.
In a timely fashion.
In a timely fashion. They're referring it to a slush fund. They're referring to this money as a slush fund. This is money, like you said, protective equipment, PFAS money that's going to be cleaning up the water. They're calling it a slush fund.
I see you on the lines.
Yeah.
We have Bob from Waukesha, Mark from Prairie du Sac waiting. We will take you on the other side, and then I'm going to give you a little update from the Waukesha Farmers Market, if you can stay with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, Fiserv Forum in our background as the Republican National Convention gets underway this week in downtown Milwaukee. We will be here all week long. Calvin is back at the studio in Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about some bad faith moves, shall we call them, during a recent primary election in Glendale.
We got two votes for different names. Andrew from Maine calls it interference, very, very good. And Brian Kelly, our very own Brian Kelly, calls it chicanery.
Chicanery. I like chicanery. I still don't think it carries the gravity.
I agree.
With which this deserves some attention. We have a couple of callers on the line who've been very patient. Bob from Waukesha. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. First, I want to thank you for educating people on Prop 2025. That is punitive. That whole thing is punitive. It's like, it's something a dictator would enact once he got elected or once he took over. The other thing is, over the weekend, this violent rhetoric, they were throwing it around like it was the Democrats. Well, they've been running a commercial since the campaign started where Trump says, if he's not elected, there's going to be bloodshed.
I understand what you're saying, Bob, and thank you for giving us a shout out for talking about Project 2025. I think it's really important. I think people need to understand what's in it,
yeah,
and how this would fundamentally change our democracy. I think violent rhetoric is bad all the way around.
Yeah,
I do. And in case you missed it, and this is the position of civic media, and Greg and I agree with this wholeheartedly. Civic media unequivocally stands for solving disagreements with words, not violence. We have to use our ballots if we want to affect change.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved. Do something. Get involved with a Get Out the Vote group. Write some postcards. We're going to talk to somebody next week who is part of a campaign to send out postcards to people who don't typically vote to try and encourage them to get out to the ballot box.
Yeah.
And as I've been saying the last couple of days, being misinformed or uninformed does not leave you in a position of strength. Being uninformed leaves you vulnerable.
Yep.
So the more we know, I believe, the knowledge is power, my friends. Yep. Knowledge is power.
And not knowing something doesn't make it not true either.
Exactly. We have one more caller that is on the line. We have Mark from Prairie du Sac. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. And it's highly unlikely that somebody's going to get in my face right to the polls to go to vote. But I mean that, and I wonder what my reaction would be if somebody, you know, got in my face and said that I'd say, you know, that I might ask them if they left their white hood at home or, you know, where's your SS insignia? Because it just, this is what they did. I mean, and the news that came out today with Eileen Cannon dismissing the charges against Sandy.
Yeah.
Jack Smith was not lawfully appointed to investigate. What juxtaposed in my mind is Republicans just investigated Joe Biden for actually having classified documents, the current president for having classified documents at his home, and not absconding with him in the middle of, you know, right before he leaves office, and hauling them all down to Mar-a-Lago and probably selling information off to the highest bidder down there in Florida. We do not know. And we do not know what happened to the briefing book. We still don't know what happened to that briefing book. That it contained in some cases, above top secret information in it that Donald Trump, you know, probably has, you know, monetized.
Well, Mark, we're gonna hopefully talk more about this specific thing with this Judge Cannon decision this morning with Jim Santel, who's going to be joining us on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you can join us for that conversation. He will be here Wednesday at 10:33. Jim Santel, a former U.S. attorney and also the host of Amicus, a law review weekends on civic media. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I really wanted to do this. I was out at the Waukesha Farmers Market on Saturday. Saw Carmela, saw Sue from Franklin, saw a number of other listeners who were just lovely, and thank you so much for stopping by. Met a woman named Renee, whose mother just passed away. She was 86 years old. Renee was there with her mother's dog, Gizmo,
Aww. Who's
a little Shih Tzu mix, and she was in tears because she cannot keep her mother's dog because she travels all the time for work. So we are looking for someone to rehome Gizmo.
Yeah.
He's a Shih Tzu mix. He's 10 to 11 years old. He's up to date on all his shots. He doesn't have any health issues. The vet can give you all of his records. He's chipped. He does bark at Amazon trucks.
Who doesn't?
He loves to play chase. Loves as many walks as he can get. Loves belly rubs.
Oh.
Loved his mom, who was 86. And again, Renee is just heartbroken. She was in tears that she's not able to keep Gizmo. Now it's not only suffering the loss of her mother, but having to deal with this.
Yeah.
So if anyone listening is looking for maybe a little bit older dog.
There you go.
Who loves belly rubs and to bark at Amazon trucks. Send me your information. Send it to Jane Says, JaneSays. Send it to janesays@civicmedia.us. And obviously, Renee is going to want to talk to you and mm-hmm. make sure that this is going to be a loving home.
Of course.
It's not going to be, hi, I met you, here's the dog, good luck. She takes this very personally. Again, this was her mother's dog for 10 to 11 years, lost mom, and now she's looking for a new home for Gizmo. So if you are interested or you would like to find out more, I will set you up and get so you can get in touch with Renee,
mm-hmm.
and you guys can have a chat and maybe even get together and meet Gizmo. send the emails to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And as I had promised all last week leading up to the farmer's market, I bought a bag of five scones, Greg.
Yeah.
I bought five scones apiece. The greatest maple and bacon scone you've ever had in your life from Pig and Pastry. So I brought a whole bag of scones, hoping some folks who might have divergent opinions would come down and sit down with me and have a cup of coffee and chat. And no one took me up on the scones apiece.
Did they have to disagree with you to get a scone? Okay, all right.
Actually, I gave Carmela and her husband a couple scones.
There you go. I mean, but but you know what, though? In all light and all fun, I think I love what you do there. You're putting that word out. You're making the effort to say, hey, come talk to me. Let's have a conversation. Let's, you know, if we can't agree on presidents, we can agree on bakery. And everyone loves a good flavored scone. So come and talk to me. Let's have that conversation. And you open the door. You open that dialogue up to other people. And that's important. And that's the overarching theme of this network.
Yes.
Is we want to talk to people who want to have good, constructive discussions, bring real things to the table, and just really try to find our common ground, our the places we agree. And we might not agree at the ballot box, but we certainly can agree on many things.
Well, so. I'm going to be out there again in a couple of weeks, and I will have another bag full of scones apiece. So I hope you can
scones
come
out. Scones apiece tour 2024.
Scones apiece tour. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you from downtown Milwaukee across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, head of the home of the RNC. You can see Fiserv Forum behind us. Calvin is back in Waukesha on the board, and you can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Just a reminder, we have all kinds of coverage all this week for the RNC. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is going to be on location throughout the entire week, giving you news updates. You can also follow all of our coverage online at civicmedia.us/RNC. Todd Alba follows us from noon to 2 p.m. He will be broadcasting live from the convention, so make sure you stick around after the noon news for Todd Alba and the Todd Alba Show. Very excited and grateful to have our next guest here to join us. Greg Treverton is with National Security Leaders for America. He has served in national security positions four times in his career as a Senate and an NSC staffer, also as vice chair and most recently chair of the National Intelligence Council. Gregory Treverton, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Gregory, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with National Security Leaders for America and how that came about?
Well, it really just came about because I thought it was important. It was important to try and get those national security voices into the debate in a much stronger way. And we actually did rather well in the last election. A majority of, say, military people voted for Trump, but we did reasonably well. And so I think it's really been really important to have particularly military people, but also folks like me that have either a State Department or intelligence background out there making the case for the Biden administration and for President Biden himself.
I think for some people who might be listening, they are surprised that there are so many former military members who are concerned about the ramifications of a second Trump administration. We have talked to retired brigadier generals. We've talked to retired rear admirals who have been lifelong Republicans who essentially said, but I cannot support a second Trump term.
I very much agree with that. I'm scared to death. about a second term. We saw that around the edges of the recent NATO summit in Washington.
The Europeans
are plainly very worried.
Sorry, we're having just a little bit of a delay here. Sorry about that, Gregory. We will get that smoothed out as we go along. Why is NATO important to America, Gregory? Why is NATO important not just to America, but to the whole global world order?
It really is critical to the global order. When the Cold War ended in the early 1990s, I thought, great, I'm not going to have to worry about NATO ever again. But it turned out to be very important in helping Eastern European countries make the transition from communism to democracy. It then became important in the Balkans. Now with the invasion by Putin of Ukraine, it's in some ways more important than ever. One of the great achievements of the Biden administration has been to really revitalize NATO and build a coalition around it in support of Ukraine. That seems to be very important, not just that NATO is a defense alliance, it's become a really important piece of the international order. And the idea that the United States might pull out of it is really, for me, very bright. We used to quip when I was in the government that we liked NATO because we ran it. And that's, to some extent, still true. And that makes it something that is not just an instrument of American power, but it is that. And it's also worth noting that the European countries spend half of their procurement budget in defense in the United States. So that's good for those who work in America's factories as well. So it seems to me it's basically a win-win. The idea that we might leave it or do something about it, I find that just a very scary prospect.
Gregory Treverton is our guest with National Security Leaders for America, and we are talking about the importance of NATO, not just globally, but specifically for America. Gregory, when I hear some Americans now talking about how America needs to just look out for America. America first. America only. And
everyone get behind us.
And we have to have allies globally, do we not? Can any country stand alone and not have any allies around the world?
Certainly that's not something we want to do. I mean, one of the problems with Mr. Trump is he seems to view international relations in purely transactional terms. And it's not just transactional. We have some sense it seems to be with NATO, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts because it is a piece of international order. So I think trying to imagine ourselves without allies in a world that's purely transactional seems to me to be a pretty bleak world indeed. And while some of the benefits of NATO are not especially tangible, they're really important, I think. That is the sense of community, the sense that people are going to be with us. It's worth remembering that the only time NATO's Article 5, which says attack on one is an attack on all, the only time that's ever been invoked was for us after 9/11. So this is, it's not a matter of pure self-interest. We need to find to uphold international law order, to have allies with us when we need them. It seems to me it's, if anything, more important than it was in the Cold War when I worked on it a lot. So it is critical, I think.
Well, and hearing former President Donald Trump say that if NATO doesn't pay up, and again, we have said this many, many times on this show, there is no Bank of NATO, there is no depository where countries are putting in a check on a monthly basis. They are supposed to be setting aside, if I understand it correctly, Gregory, they are supposed to be setting aside a percentage of their GDP for their own defense. Many NATO countries do that. Some of the smaller NATO countries may not reach, 2%? But saying that if NATO doesn't pay up, Putin can go in and do whatever he wants, that has to give members of your organization, National Security Leaders for America, just, that's horrifying.
It is horrifying. It is horrifying. It's worth remembering that this 2% of GNP goal is a goal. It's not a requirement. We'd like everybody to meet it. And amazingly, now something like 22 or 23 of the NATO countries have made that goal. But it's worth remembering it's a goal, not a requirement. We'd like everyone to meet it. And while Mr. Trump doesn't know this, every president before him has also complained that Europeans didn't spend enough money on defense. And that's a fair complaint, partly because we are so big and we do spend so much on defense. That means particularly the little countries can sort of free ride because they know that their efforts aren't going to make much difference to the whole NATO defense effort, but they'd rather spend that money on social programs or something else. So that's been a constant refrain. All of the presidents I worked for have complained that European NATO members didn't spend enough on defense. But what's interesting is now, spurred by Ukraine, I think probably only Vladimir Putin could have done this, spurred by the war in Ukraine, we're now up to more than half of NATO members meeting that 2% goal.
Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson said this, and he said this more than once, but I think he said it again just a couple of weeks ago, that Vladimir Putin is going to win. He just is. Yeah. And so, therefore, yep. I guess we should just let him have what he wants.
I think letting Vladimir Putin win would be a disaster for the Western world and for the world in general. There will be some end at some point, and it probably isn't going to be very pretty. But the one thing I think we don't want to have happen is for Putin to have a real win. We end up with having to make a peace or a truce or a ceasefire at some point, so be it. But the main thing is we can't come out of this with a clear victory for Putin, because that'll only mean that the next war begins all that sooner. So it is important, critical, I think, for us to continue to support the Ukrainians. They fought so bravely against the odds. Nobody expected them to last more than a few days at the beginning of the war, and they've done really wonderfully well. In the process, they've obviously cost the Russians a lot. I have the feeling this is going to end badly for Russia as well. But the last thing we can afford is to let Putin get away with a clear victory. That would only mean that the next war somewhere else in Europe started sooner even than we expect.
Well, and I don't know why anyone would trust Vladimir Putin about anything if he says, oh, yes, we just want Ukraine back, and then it's all good. Yeah. And then we'll stop there. Trust me, it's fine. Let's go out for lunch. I mean, this is not... Vladimir Putin is not a good faith actor.
No, he's been pretty clear about his aim since about 2007. So it's not, in some sense, it's not a surprise. But there is, when you think about it, the argument is really kind of crazy. Here he's saying, we and the Ukrainians are the same people. But then he's out there having his folks shoot them, right? So the idea that they're making war on their own people is a kind of a crazy argument. But it's one that, unfortunately, he seems actually to believe. He wrote about it a couple of years ago. It's another reason why I think we can't let this naked aggression, something we never expected to see again on this scale, particularly not in Europe, it's why we can't let Putin get away with it.
Gregory Treverton is our guest. He is with National Security Leaders for America. We have had several of your organization's members on before, and we're going to continue to do this leading up to the election in November, just because I think it's important that people take to heart the important ramifications should NATO fall apart, should America withdraw from NATO. This isn't just going to hurt other countries. This is going to hurt Americans.
Yes.
Because of the order that NATO has ensured, we all get to share from the same economic success. Without a strong NATO, without these strong countries allied together, economies collapse when the world is in disorder. And so the economic successes that we're enjoying could easily go away if NATO is destroyed and the global economy is all disrupted.
No, that, That's absolutely right. We tend to think about this in sort of geopolitical terms, but it's also geoeconomic terms as well. As you suggest, that NATO has been a big piece of the order that let us get the kind of prosperity we have, the kind of global increase in income that we've seen. So we tend to think of these things in sort of narrow alliance or military terms, but it is much, it's part of a much wider international system that has led to really unprecedented prosperity around the globe. Still lots of pockets of poverty, to be sure, including our own country, but that has led to enormous economic success. And in that sense, the military dimension is kind of an underpinning or a support for that broader international order that has brought that prosperity.
As you said, Gregory, it's not just about the military alliance, but what that military alliance means for all of us economically around the world. We're going to continue this discussion with Gregory Treverton from National Security Leaders for America. One last segment. I hope you can stay with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, where the RNC getting underway today. Former President Donald Trump is expected, at least this is the rumor, to announce his vice presidential pick sometime later today or tonight. So obviously we will have that for you if and when it happens. We have all kinds of coverage all day long here at Civic Media. Just go to civicmedia.us/RNC. And that will have all of our coverage. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be doing reports from the RNC all week long. Todd Alba, who follows us from noon to 2 p.m., will be also broadcasting live. And I know he has a bunch of guests lined up as well. So stick around for Todd's show right after the noon news. Right now, we are joined by our guest Gregory Treverton. Is with an organization called National Security Leaders for America. Gregory Treverton served in national security positions four times over the course of his career, both as a Senate and NSC staffer, and as vice chair, most recently chair of the National Intelligence Council. He's written widely on strategy, deterrence, alliance relationship, and intelligence. Gregory Treverton, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Talk about allies and the importance of America having allies. There are some who are saying, America alone, America first, we don't need anybody. What would that actually mean in practice?
I think it would be a kind of a dog-eat-dog world, not a world we want to live in, it seems to me, to approach international relations purely as a transaction where you worry most about economics, as Mr. Trump seems to, seems to be a bad mistake even on economic grounds. It's important, I think, for us to have friends and people will come to our, be with us when we need them. That's been the case after 9/11. So as we said earlier, that's the only time Article 5 of NATO has been invoked. That's the one that says an attack on one is an attack on all. And that was after 9/11 for us. And we've made the point, I think, that the military alliance is really, in some sense, the underpinning of a broader international order that drives prosperity, that is created unprecedented prosperity in the world. And what's interesting to note about the recent NATO summit in Washington was also attended by some of our Asian allies, South Korea, Japan, Australia. They too are in some ways not becoming part of NATO, but they're becoming part of this broader security grouping because they have their own concerns. They've seen sovereignty attacked brazenly in Ukraine, and they worry that could happen in their region, China, Taiwan, China and Hong Kong. So we've seen this tendency for some of our Asian allies to pull closer to us and pull closer to NATO as well. And I think that's also an important part of the broader geopolitical and geoeconomic order.
Well, and as you mentioned, Gregory, that's when President Trump, when President Biden, rather, was addressing NATO, former President Donald Trump was meeting with Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. You could not have a bigger dichotomy, because Viktor Orban essentially, when he was elected in, he took over the media, he took over the universities, and there have been enormous protests in Budapest over the last several months, because those kinds of leaders, once they get in, they're tough to get out.
Absolutely. Now, I started my professional career working on Latin America, and what struck me about Donald Trump is he fits the classic Latin American caudillo pattern. You know, typically those caudillos have gotten elected in maybe even elections that were fair, but they come to power with a minority of support, but a passionate minority. They say the system is rigged or fixed and they're going to fix it, and then they take out after the instruments of power and justice. And that's exactly what Mr. Trump did. Happily, in his first term, he was pretty feckless at it. But in the second term, we know he won't be. We know he's smart enough to have learned lessons from that first term. And so that makes the prospect of, seems to me, a second term pretty horrifying, especially on domestic grounds, but also, as we've been talking, on national security and global grounds as well. And so, obviously, Trump was meeting with one of his favorite co-caudillos, Viktor Orban, who has followed that pattern as well. And it's for me, in some ways, it's a reminder that, unfortunately, Pogo was right, that we have seen the enemy, and it's probably us. We're more threatened domestically, it seems to me, than we are internationally. And we have institutions to deal with that international set of crises, NATO first and foremost among them. But whether our guardrails and norms and institutions at home are strong enough, that is, for me, the number one worry.
Gregory, we only have about a minute and a half left. What is your advice for people other than being informed? I maintain that being uninformed does not leave you in a position of strength. It leaves you vulnerable.
Absolutely. I think the best thing to do is to be informed. We all know that foreign affairs is not uppermost in people's minds when they go to elections, but this is it seems to me, an important inflection point in the world, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. So this does seem to me it's important at this time, especially for people to pay some attention, to learn a little bit about what's going on and try and be sensible and intelligent in thinking about not just pocketbook issues, those are always first and foremost, but thinking about the wider ramifications of those pocketbook issues in the sense of international order.
Gregory Treverton has been our guest. He is with National Security Leaders for America. Really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so very, very much. We will continue talking about these things as well as Project 2025 and many, many other things. Thank you for your time, Mr. Treverton.
We're
going to talk to several other members of National Security Leaders for America in the coming months. That wraps it up for us. We have news on the way next. Todd Alba taking over from noon to 2 p.m., followed by Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m., and then Devils from 4 to 6. I hope you will stay here. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and Chris and Corey and Max and everyone for making this happen today. Thank you for listening and calling and texting. If you're interested in finding more about that gizmo, the puppy that I met on Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market, send your emails to janesays@civicmedia.us, and we'll see if we can't get you set up and find out if you would make a good home for a little gizmo. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.